Okay. You okay? Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You know, I had to wipe my glasses off. I never want to not see all these pretty faces in here because it is a beautiful scene, and we just praise God for you being here this morning. You know, it's only through His grace that we do get delivered from our many obstacles of life. And if you look at the word grace, I don't know where this one come from. G-R-A-C-E, and just what it represents. Grace, it is God's riches at Christ's expense. You know, Christ, He paid a terrible penalty for what we did, and we simply need to owe Him each and every moment of our life. So, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Welcome one and all to the church today, and we just praise You for being here and helping to keep the doors and the spirit moving within our area here today. Do we have any announcements? Well, where's Debbie? I know she's got some.
She's not out yet, but I'll go ahead. Wanda's not here, so I'll announce it from her. It is in your newsletter that in two Sundays on the 24th, we will have church in the park, down here at the park, and it'll be at 10 a.m. that morning, so there's no Sunday school that morning. We'll just have church. Brother Sam will be there for that. We'll have special music. And then following the service, we'll have our picnic lunch afterwards under the pavilion. So everyone is asked to bring sandwiches and a side dish to share and bring your own drink. The ladies' aid is going to provide all the paper goods and plastic ware. So mark that on your calendar in 2 weeks on the 24th. Church in the park.
Come hungry in both aspects, for the spirit and for your tummy. And we'll just see if we can't fulfill both needs that day. Thank you, Jerry. Other announcements? Deb, I think you had an announcement or two you wanted to make.
Yeah. For those of you that didn't notice, there's a lot of yellow squash and zucchini back there. Please help yourself. We're getting squash and zucchini out at my home. Mm-hmm. Just to let you all know, you know, in our pastoral search, the pastor that gave us their qualifications and all, I have scheduled for her to do a sermon and just to see, and then she will talk with you afterwards, you know, if you have any questions or whatever regarding that. Is that what you meant, Bob?
Yeah, that was one thing. I know you had a couple you told me about. So.
Well, teaching is done went out of my mind, so. but anyway, what?
When is that?
I'll let you know, because I think I'm going to go ahead. I didn't post who was preaching what Sunday, and as I've told you all, I didn't do that because I want everyone, brothers and sisters, children, whatever, to come because you're worshiping the Lord, not who's standing behind the pulpit. Although Brother Paul is hard to beat, but I just didn't want people to pick and choose. That didn't seem to affect anything, so I will, from now on, I will post in the newsletter, but I think hers is at the end of September. Yes. And she's up to negotiation, but again, we have to know what she believes, what she thinks and all that. But we'll see. We're still looking, but just give her the benefit of the doubt.
Thank you,
Dale.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Any others, please?
We've been truly blessed to have those fill the pulpit that we have.
Amen.
If we could clone Brother Paul, we could have Rocky Ridge for one Brother Paul and the other for up there. We'd have everything settled.
Yes, we would.
Amen.
Amen to that.
We're going to try one time cleaning per month. Because it just seems like it's, you know, it stays very clean. Other than the windows, we might just have to somebody when they come in the morning, maybe. But we're going to do once a month cleaning and see how that goes. If we feel that we need to go back to two twice a month, we will. So you give me your feedback, because I can only do what you tell me.
Amen. Thanks, Deb. Any others, please? If not, we'll have a prelude at this time. Thank you. someone new, shining through. I think we all know that. It is no secret what he can do. We just have to be willing to sit back, stand still, and just listen for him to give us the care and the protection we need and let us move in the right direction at his time and not ours. In our call to worship this morning, we're going to look at Psalms 101 through 3. And please follow along with me because my eyes seem to jump around a lot of times and misses some words. So let's take care of that right now. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what singing? Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and his sheep of his pastures. May God add his blessing to the word. Let us bow our heads for a little invocation. Oh, Father God, as we come before you today, we just ask that you would please renew our hearts and our minds with your word and your words in love. Oh, Father, let the words and the actions of our mouth and the meditations, Lord, of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, we just ask for strength and that holy grace that you provide and the many times that we are redeemed by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in his favor we do ask. Amen. This time we'll have a hymn, please.
Thank you.
this time, you have any joys or any concerns you would like to lift at Nancy?
We need to keep in prayer Russell and Cindy and the family of the loss of his brother, and also Jeff Scott's family. Jeff delivered a message here one Sunday, and he passed away this past week.
And who was the one that passed?
Jeff Scott.
Jeff Scott.
Jeff Scott. Okay, thank you. Others, please.
Continue, Alan and Ricky and Debbie.
Sounds like Paul's got his motorcycle out there running around.
Yeah.
I hear him. Boy, he's super powered on that one. Excuse me, Paul, didn't mean to. I hope you got a little joy out of that, brother.
I did. I can only envision myself on a motorcycle. I don't know if that makes me laugh or just...
Me too, Paul. At one time, I loved it. But at this time, I think I'd be going home soon.
So walking's fast enough.
Yeah. Can't hardly do that anymore. Oh, there's Frank. I think I got all of those. Thank you.
I just want to keep Sissy. Well, some of you know her as Sissy. Some of you know her as Loretta Hargett. I got word, Jerry told me that she has not been well, and she's in Meredith's Hospital. So let's lift her up. Not only her, but her husband, Louie. He struggles after he's had his stroke. So let's just keep that family in prayer.
Who was it? Sissy and?
Sissy and Louie.
Oh, I got Sissy, but didn't catch Louie. Thank you. Any more, please? Okay. With those in mind and those sitting on our hearts, let us humbly come before the Lord in prayer. If you want to kneel, sit, whatever you feel comfortable with. Our Father, as we come to you this day, we just ask that you would just renew our bodies and our minds and our hearts. And, Father, we just ask that your words would be given to us in love, that we can let those words turn around and be actions of our mouth and our meditations and our hearts to others that would be acceptable in your sight, O Father. Father, we just thank you that you have enriched us so much in our life and have given us many chances, O Father, to be of service to you. And Father, as we continue to carry the torch, as you carry the crown of thorns to the cross, we just look to you for that reverence, that peace that we can constantly have if we just hold on to the braids of grace that you so willingly provided. Father, we just thank you too that there have been so many out there that are living in distress and disobedience and having a wrong way to go in life, I think. Father, you know all about the protest and the situations. And I just can't understand it in my mind how they can want to go for such evil things that takes the lives of a fetus. It puzzles me, Lord, but you know. And you will have a way of working it out. And so, Father, we leave it in your hands this day. And Father, while we have that in mind, we look at the people that you have so graciously touched and have ailments and concerns of their physical nature. And you have heard the names right down the line, which I will not express again. Because, Father, we know that just as you have a box that you take care of and we just drop our notes in it, and at your point in time, Father, you take care of the works that are necessary and the healings that are necessary. And it is something that we cannot change, but it is done on your time and not ours. But Father, we praise you for being the minister of our lives and being able to share this fine experience within our hearts here today. Oh, Father, if we look up, there was a few other names that wasn't announced, and I'll just mention those names. It's good to see Brad back with us after being out for a week or so. And Ruthie Stimble, that works in the bank. And Skipper Meissner's family, Father, we ask that you lift and add this name to the list of others that were spoken. Oh, Father, we just thank you so much that you've given us the grace and the power to be here and to share in these moments and to have Brother Paul and Sister Barb here with us. What a delight it is. It's like having dessert on top of our ice cream. Thank you, Father God, so much again. And we just share these moments and let you figure out what's going on and help us to understand that, Father, as we look to you with the grace and provisions that only you can provide. So, Father, we just ask it all in the precious name of Jesus this day, as we would say the Lord's Prayer in holy unison. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Oh, my. She was hiding behind Nancy back there, and I didn't get to see her. I'm sorry, Mr. Lewis. Praise you for being here, and I'm glad you're healthy enough to join us.
Bob, I neglected to remind people of Bible study Tuesday evening. This week's lesson is on the capital H of the earth, regardless of what
you're. Now, Jerry, you'll have to repeat that one.
Bible study Tuesday night, 7 o'clock.
Oh. Yeah, please don't forget. I tell you, it's been an interesting series going on, and sometimes you won't pick up on any greater information than what's coming over these CDs they happen to find, and I'll tell you, it just blows your mind sometimes. And please come out Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it very much. Okay, thanks, Nancy. Yeah, any others, please?
It's a great
study. Okay. With that being said, we'll go to our next hymn, then, please.
Number 62, we stand if you're able.
Thank you.
You know, so many times I forget, and I even brought this up with me as a reminder for all the good people that is in our directory who need prayer too and aren't mentioned each and every Sunday. So let us not forget them as you go to your prayers daily. Include those of our directory, if you would please. Our scripture reading for this morning comes from Psalms 51, 1 to 10. Again, read along with me if you would please. And following the reading of this scripture, we're delighted again to have Brother Paul and Sister Barb with us. And Brother Paul, I know, has another outstanding message for us. So let's just listen to what he's got here to start the message off. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins is always before me. Against you to only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts of the hidden part. You will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you you have broken, many rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart and a God, and renew the steadfast within me." With those words on our hearts, I humbly greet Brother Paul and may the Lord bless him with his message. Thank you. I won't take the long cup here.
Good morning. It is good to be back with you again. I still have that vision or that picture in my mind of me on a motorcycle. It does make me smile, but if I think about it too much, I think it'll give me nightmares. So maybe at one time, I do this from time to time. Maybe I feel a little too, I just feel like I'm at home. Well, thank you. When I was single, I'm not even sure my wife knows this. That's what I was thinking. Uh-oh.
It's time to confess.
I thought I needed a motorcycle. And I actually went and looked at one. And I'm not sure why, but it was probably good that I didn't get one. I never did get a motorcycle. Nothing like the riding today. I can't see how you can ride so bent over. I'd get off and I wouldn't get back up straight. But it does intrigue me. You had a young fella, a couple years ago, he used to come to church on this motorcycle, and I'd always comment to him, "I know you're here. I see your motorcycle in the parking lot." But for a few moments, I want to think on "Not My Will." A man was on his knees working on a sculpture. He was hitting at the bottom of the sculpture near the ground. A preacher came in and said, "I wish I could deal such changing blows on the hearts of men." The sculptor looked at him and said, "Maybe you could if you worked like me on your knees." We've all heard the saying, prayer changes things. In fact, some of us have that hanging in our homes. Prayer changes things. Someone has said also along with that, that prayer activates the power of God. And it's not that, as I thought of that, it's not that God needs us to activate that power. It's just that God as our Father says, I want to hear from you. I want to hear your requests and your petitions. Well, Daniel, and we're going to look a little bit briefly at Daniel 9, if you want to turn your Bibles there. Daniel 9, or Daniel was a man of great character, and I think you need to, or we need to understand that, that Daniel was a man of great character. He was one who God spoke through. He could interpret dreams. He had visions from God of future events, but he was also a man of prayer. And in chapter 6 of Daniel, and I'm not going to turn to that, but that's a familiar account to us. In chapter 6, his commitment to prayer had him cast into the lion's den. Setting for the prayer that we find in Daniel chapter 9, and the first part of Daniel chapter 9 is a prayer, and the setting for that is somewhere around chapter 6. In fact, some believe that this prayer that is found at the beginning of the chapter here in chapter 9 was a prayer possibly that he prayed during that time when he was forbidden to do so, and it may have been a prayer that he said that ultimately cast him or had him put into the lion's den. Maybe again, just for a little more background on Daniel and familiarity with him, Daniel was taken to Babylon as a teenager. We don't know exactly the age that he was, but he was just a young man, a teenager. And he was in captivity 65 to 67 years in chapter 9. And so when we get to chapter 9, and really when he was put into the lion's den, Daniel was about 80 years old. And it kind of puts in a different light, possibly, than sometimes we think of Daniel, maybe as a younger man placed in the lion's den. But he was probably close to 80 years old when that account took place. But from this prayer here in Daniel chapter 9, from his prayer, we find several characteristics of effective prayer. There are some others here. There's probably about 5 or 6, but we're going to look at 3 only this morning. First one we'd like to consider is effective prayer is grounded in the will of God. Effective prayer is grounded in the will of God. I'm going to read verse 2 of chapter 9 of Daniel, and it reads like this: in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Now, in the setting that I shared with you, and thinking of that verse, Daniel is in captivity 65 to 67 years. And Daniel reads from Jeremiah, and he realizes captivity is only going to last for 70 years. I believe it was something on Daniel's mind. He longed for the time when he would be back, or his people would be back to Jerusalem, and the city would be restored. The discovery and understanding of God's plan led to the prayer then in verse 3, and on down to, I believe it's verse 19. It's a prayer of Daniel after he understood from reading of Jeremiah that he would be in captivity 70 years. And then he prays the prayer that we have there in chapter 9. Prayer grounded in the will of God is at the heart of all prayer. It's not that we question God and what God can do, but many times you'll hear people pray that your will be done, not ours. Even Jesus prayed that very simple prayer, that phrase. I want you to turn, I'm going to have you move around here a little bit. If you were at Daniel 9, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And I want to look at a few verses there. Verses 14 and 15. Thinking on the thought, effective prayer is grounded in the will of God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. In verse 14, we have a condition, and in verse 15, we have a promise. Verse 14 of 1 John 5, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. That's the condition. The writer of John says that if we ask anything according to his will, he's going to hear us. And then in verse 15, the promise. And if we know that he hears us, then whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Now, some people eliminate verse 14 and read verse 15 and come to the conclusion that if I ask God for anything, I'm going to receive it. But you have to read verse 14, which says, if I ask according to his will. And I don't know about your prayer life, but I know a lot of times my prayer life is I want things the way I want them. And I want it to happen in my time frame. And when I want it to happen, and I needed to be reminded, especially this year, some things we were going through earlier, that it's not my will, but it's his will. And in his timing, even though I don't understand and frustration begins to set in, I understand that it's not my will, but it's his. The songwriter writes, not my will, but thine be done, pray Jesus. May this same prayer be mine every day. And so we see from the writer or there, those verses in John, the condition and the promise. In Matthew 26, our Lord prays. Verse 39, and he went a little further. He's praying, and then he presses on further into the garden, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. He cried out to his Father, like you and I cry out at times, for things to take place, for things to pass from us. But then he very, right after that, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Even Jesus desired that the cup that he was about to partake of giving his life on a rugged cross, that if possible, that would there be some other way, even though he knew it wasn't. And he knew it would happen. The human side of our Lord cried out to his Father, saying, there's any way possible, but not my will, but yours. James 4, chapter 3, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. It's a familiar verse maybe to us at times, or it's been quoted over and over. What's it mean to ask amiss? It means with wrong motives. I'm sure at times I've asked amiss. I've asked for selfish reasons. For me, and we commented about that a few moments ago. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may be consumed upon your own lusts, that upon your own desires, upon your own pleasures. And I believe the writer James is saying, yes, not according to his will, but all for yourself again. What you desire and would want God to do for you. Thinking of us praying in God's will and not my will, but His will be done. God desires the best for each of us. Do you believe that this morning? God desires the best for His children, the best. And His will is always the best for us. And there is nothing this morning that you and I can ask of God outside His will for our life that is equal or better than His best. You follow that? There's nothing I can ask of God that is better, that is outside His will, that is better than what He already wants for me. Because He wants the best for us. And so this morning I asked myself and asked you, do our prayers at time ask God for what is better? And He wants us to have the best. And you have to answer that as I have thought of that over the past couple of days. Do my prayers at times ask God for what is better? And He wants us to have the best. Not going to take the time, but there's examples, at least one, Hezekiah in Scripture, where God said, I'll give you the better. And I'm not too sure, and if you look at that account, he asked for 15 more years. If it really turns out, as you look back through, if that was God, that was the best. Maybe I shouldn't say any more without really looking at the account, giving you an understanding of that. If I recall correctly from what I've read this morning, during that 15 years, there was a son born. His name was Manasseh. Manasseh was a very evil king. And I believe he served possibly up to 50 years in Israel and led him away from God. And so is it possible, are we at times satisfied for what is better? And miss the very best. And God really wants to give us the very best. His will for us is the very best. One person placed this sign on his bathroom mirror. Now, unless you get permission from your wife, husbands, don't go home writing on the bathroom mirror. But it is a good thought or something to consider each morning. What have you got going today, God? I'd like to be a part of it. You ever wake up in the morning and think, God, what do you got going on today? I'd like to be a part of it. Oswald Chambers said, every time we pray, our horizon is altered. Our attitudes to things is altered. Not sometimes, but every time. You know, many times, the purpose of prayer is to change me. And again, I think you understand that there's no reason why we don't pray for people and pray for healing on their behalf. And ask God to bring healing to individuals. But ultimately, when God replies, when God moves, it really comes down to me understanding that it's God's will. And He desires the best. For each one of us. Effective prayer is grounded in the will of God. Effective prayer is characterized by confession. Effective prayer is characterized by confession. If you go back there to chapter 9, and maybe I should have chapter 9 read, but if you want to read it sometime, maybe even this afternoon, read Daniel 9. Verses 1 through 19, read that prayer. Daniel did not become a critic of others or look at others or look at what others or everybody else was doing, I should say. All throughout his prayer, he identifies with the people of God and even with their sin. Verse 4 reads like this, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to keep to them that keep his commandments." And in verse 5, then he says, "We have sinned and committed iniquity." And even as far back at verse 20, and it's not a part of the prayer actually, but in verse 20, "While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel." I think it's important for me anyway to understand that in my prayers, that I don't become the critic that sometimes I want to of other individuals. And even in the wrongdoing that's going on around us, and in particular amongst God's people. Because Ezra identified with the people and the sin that was being committed at that time in Ezra chapter 9 when he said, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and blushed to lift up my face to thee, my God." And then he says, "For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto heaven." Daniel 9 there, in verse 5 in particular, we have a few phrases that I want to pause and just call our attention to. He says, "We have sinned." Sin means to miss the mark. To miss the mark. Later he says, "We have done iniquity." Iniquity means to distort, gross immorality and injustice. In the same verse he says, "We have done wickedly." It means to do something wrong, you know is wrong. And then he says, I believe towards the end, or in the middle of the verse, he says, "And we have rebelled." That means to defy authority. And you might ask, well, why did he go through those words to give a description of what had taken place at this time? If you would study or look carefully at that verse, there are four different terms in the Hebrew for sin. And Daniel says, "We have done them all. We have done them all." Four ways to describe sin in the Hebrew language. And Daniel identifies with the people and he says, "We have done them all." One of the great lessons we find here from Daniel in this prayer is that Daniel saw the people and he gathered them together in his arms and cried out to God. He included himself in their sin and folly. Not them and us, or them and me, but we have sinned. Confession is an absolute in the life of every child of God. I was just sitting here this morning as we went through the Sunday school hour, some thoughts went through my mind. And as was mentioned, all of us have sinned. All of us continue to come short of what the will of God is for our life on a weekly basis. There's areas that, well, we missed the mark. So that we come to God in confession. Confession is an absolute in the life of every child of God. Psalm 32:1, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." David, as you heard read in the opening scripture, as Brother Bob read the scripture to us this morning, David, a man having a heart after God. David intrigues me. And there's great lessons we can learn from David. But David was a man who had a heart after God. And yet, when we look at David's life, some of the failures, and rather than be a critic, I look at that and think, you know, that's who we are at times. Oh, we may not commit the sins that David committed. Probably none of us have committed some of them. But aren't we kind of the same at times when we look back and see where we have failed? In Psalm 51, he poured out his heart in confession. In the third verse, he said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." And then in verse 10, possibly a verse you have memorized, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Effective prayer is characterized by confession. Number three, and the last one, effective prayer is characterized by persistence. Persistence. Verse 3 there of his prayer, he says, "I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication." I set my face unto the Lord God. The phrase "set my face unto the Lord God" refers to commitment, intensity, persistence, and passion. Prayer should not, and I'm talking to myself, my own life, prayer should not become something just in a passing that we just kind of casually cry out to God. Prayer needs to be a commitment, an intensity, and a passion of God's people. A passion. And I think we understand that if something is a passion, there's this strong commitment to do it daily, on a daily basis. As many as you do, if not all of you, and I commend you for it. And the time you spend each Sunday going through the prayer lists and praying for individuals. You don't have to turn to these, but thinking of effective prayer is characterized by persistence. Hannah in 1 Samuel refused to eat for a period of time in praying for her son. Esther. In Esther 4, verse 6, reads like this: "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat or drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." Persistence, crying out 3 days, day and night, on behalf of God's people. If you, I think some of you, or maybe all of you, understand what is taking place there in Esther. The Jews are going to be annihilated there under the decree that was set by the king. She cried out to her, said, fast 3 days. Waiting, persistence. In Luke chapter 11, that portion I want to turn to, Luke chapter 11, and it's verses 5 through 10. As we think of persistence in prayer, and we see that here in Daniel when he says, "I set my face unto the Lord God." Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Again, it's an account maybe you've heard before, but verse 5 through 7. "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight?" Now, place that in your mind as you try and envision, or as you try and understand the account. "Which of you shall have a friend?" So you're going to a friend. "And shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.'" In verse 7, And he from within shall answer, say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. So that's the setting. You go to a friend's house, you knock on the door at midnight, you ask for something, for a friend, for food, and your friend inside says, don't bother me. The door's shut. My children are in bed. Don't make noise. You're causing a disturbance. Everybody will wake up. But the count doesn't end. And then in verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, and we don't use that word, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. In other words, yet because of his persistence, he will rise. But it comes because the individual at the door keeps knocking and is persistent. And isn't that at times how we come before God and we keep knocking and crying out over and over? And in our persistence, God reveals to us his will and answers our prayer. And yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Despite the initial rebuff in saying, even though I'm your friend, go away. Man refuses to give up. And isn't that a great picture of us in prayer? Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. In verse 9, there are three verbs used. And I say unto you, this is Jesus, after giving this parable, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Think of that. Ask, seek, knock. Three verbs that progressively increase in intensity. First you ask, then you seek, and then you knock. In verse 10, the promise, everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. And again, this is not a promise, or this promise is not a blank check granting people whatever they wish. Because if you go back to verse 3 or verse 2, Jesus has already spoken to that issue in verse 2 when he says, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then the words that we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in the earth. What we're saying is, God, your will be done here on earth as it is according to what is in heaven. And so again, it's not a blank check granting people whatever they wish. Again, it's within that framework of God's will. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. Again, referring to Jesus in the garden and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. I have to wonder, as I just think of that verse, if you're at where Jesus is, how do you pray more earnestly? I think you'd probably start out more earnestly, wouldn't you? But it says Jesus, after praying, prayed more earnestly. And what happened? His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Charles Spurgeon said, prayer pulls the rope below and the great bell rings above in the ears of God. But then he said this, some scarcely stir the bell. Others give but an occasional pluck at the rope. But he who wins in heaven is the man who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continuously. With all his might. Effective prayer is characterized by persistence. And I think, knowing each one of you, the little bit I do, I think everyone here would say you prayed persistently and fervently for people. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. With a passion, pray to your Heavenly Father. Effective prayer is grounded in the will of God. Effective prayer is characterized by confession. Effective prayer is characterized by persistence. There's a song that, and I think I'll give you maybe one verse of it here before we have prayer, that I've listened to over and over in the last couple months. It's been encouragement to me. It's, as I've heard, listened to the words, it says, if I ask for things that I should not ask for, if I pray for things selfishly, if I ask for myself and not for my neighbor, take this veil from my eyes and let me see. Not my will, but thine be done, pray Jesus. May this same prayer be mine every day. When this robe of flesh that I wear makes me falter, guide my steps and hold my hand all the way. Let's pray. Father, we pause before you. We do approach you as our Father who is in heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in our time of calling upon you we enter into the throne room of heaven and open our eyes that we would see you, and when we see you, we cannot help but fall down and confess our unworthiness and our sinfulness at times. And so, Father, we ask for your forgiveness. We ask, Father, that you would speak to us through your word daily. Strengthen us and give us the courage and the perseverance to press on, not only in our prayer life, but in our walk with you. So, Father, we pray one more time for the many requests that were made, and we pray that your will would be done. And Father, if we don't understand that, open my eyes, my blinded eyes at times, and let me see what your will is. Because you deserve the very best for me. And help me, O God, not to accept what is better. So, Father, I pray that you would go with each one as we leave this place. Thank you for, bless them for being here. Go with us, give us safety as we travel, give us a good day, a good week. May it be a week that we could be a witness and a testimony for what you have done in each one of our lives. And may we lift up the name of Jesus and glorify your name. It's in his name, the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. I'm going to sing from hymn number 188. 188. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing. Let's stand.
Glory to his name.
Father, we ask your blessing upon this people as we leave this place. Go with us. Light for our path. Protection for our pathway. May you guide and direct through the coming day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.